From South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between, this is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. Without further ado, let's get started. On this week's broadcast, Katie Gregg will be giving the wrap-up. Now, here's Jenna DeKnight to talk about L.A. elections.
The primaries for the 2013 Los Angeles mayor's race are taking place tomorrow, March 5th. The candidates competing for the title are Eric Garcetti, Wendy Gruhl, Kevin James, Jan Perry, and Emmanuel Pleitez, along with smaller name candidates. The general election is scheduled to take place May 21st. Eric Garcetti is running for mayor to create jobs and solve problems for LA residents. Garcetti holds a track record of delivering proven results in the neighborhoods he represents and citywide. The LA Times endorses him and says Garcetti is the best choice for mayor. Despite strong support from the LA Times, some voters are still questioning his intentions. Eric Garcetti has promoted himself as the greenest of the candidates. He has failed to mention, however, that he co-owns property in Beverly Hills and that the oil deposits below the property have been leased out to Venico Inc. Venico would side drill from their facility located next to Beverly Hills High School, but the company has not started drilling under the Garcetti property and, according to the Los Angeles Times, is not sure if they will. Garcetti told the Los Angeles Times he would donate the income from the oil to the Sierra Club. Wendy Gruhl's recent attack against Garcetti made headlines everywhere, claiming, quote, "Nobody knows the real Garcetti." Evidently, the allegations marked a negative turn for Gruhl that underscored the closeness of the race as Tuesday's elections draw near. Many voters are still undecided, possibly one reason Gruhl appears to be shifting to more personal attacks on her rival's character. Gruhl currently serves as the city controller and claims she will be a mayor for all of Los Angeles. Before being elected as controller, Gruhl was a city councilwoman for the city, and before being elected to office, she worked in the entertainment industry. Garcetti went after Gruhl's audit of the DWP because he claims she posted on her website that zero waste was found. Kevin James is a lawyer and a former talk radio host, making his first run for public office. As top candidates, Garcetti and Gruhl battle for the mayoral title. James turned to adopting spirited debate performances. The candidate's release of a web video showing his rivals as burying a dead body in a shallow grave has set off accusations that James has overreached in trying to draw attention to himself in the last days before the Tuesday primary. The James video depicts top contenders Wendy Gruhl and Eric Garcetti as part of a cultural corruption at City Hall. Actors playing the city controller and city councilman bury a body in the dead of night, an effigy for the public funds the duo has allegedly wasted. Jan Perry has been a city councilwoman since 2001 and is a formal council president pro tem. Perry is an interesting one-person coalition as an African-American, Jewish, pro-business woman and Democrat. She hits nearly every point on the minority checklist. Perry hopes that her real, plain talk will resonate with voters in the mayoral election. Emmanuel Pleitez is a former technology company executive and political aide making his second attempt to win public office. Although not in lead for this year's race, Pleitez filed a complaint with the Los Angeles Ethics Commission alleging that rival candidate Eric Garcetti violated disclosure rules by failing to report his ownership interest in a Beverly Hills property.
I would like to start by correcting my error from last week, which was that the sequester was built into the 2012 debt ceiling deal. It was, however, built into the 2011 debt ceiling deal. I apologize for my mistake. Continuing on the sequester, the bickering and bantering in Washington continued through Friday's sequestration deadline, or start date, depending on how you think of it. Congress could have passed legislation to prevent the $85 billion in cuts from going into effect. In fact, the only thing members of Congress actually accomplished was assigning blame on other members of Congress. Before the budget cuts began, government agencies were preparing for the funding cut. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, released hundreds of illegal immigrants as a way to cut costs because they would no longer be spending money on holding this group. Some members of law enforcement and some politicians were furious over the decision. The White House, though, says they were not involved. Border Patrol agents will have 2 weeks of furlough days per year. If air traffic controllers are hurt, as much as the public has been told, delays can be expected at airports throughout the country, including our own LAX. CNN reported that the FAA will have a cut of $1 billion, which would bring their budget down to $14.9 billion. They did add, however, that this was their operating budget in 2008. Washington had an 11:59 p.m. deadline on Friday, which was not met. Even before this, members of the media received the executive order that authorized the sequester cuts. The exact time was 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. The big issue that kept the two parties apart was that of spending. Some Republican members of Congress wanted the sequester to go into effect so the government would not have to cut spending. Is this the right approach? I will let you decide. Democrats, on the other hand, wanted to close tax loopholes and deal with both taxes and spending. Republicans, however, will not budge on taxes. On Thursday, Obama issued a statement where he stressed compromise. The president said, quote, "We should work together to reduce our deficit in a balanced way by making smart spending cuts and closing special interest loopholes. That's exactly the kind of plan Democrats in the Senate have proposed." But even though a majority of senators support this approach, Republicans have refused to allow it an up or down vote, threatening our economy with a series of arbitrary automatic budget cuts that will cost us jobs and slow our recovery. Just as congressional Republicans have refused to budge on their stance, the president has refused to budge on his. During his State of the Union address, Obama emphasized the importance of at least letting legislation come to a vote in the House. Granted, this was about gun control, but it can be applied to any subject. In a last-minute attempt to strike a deal, on Friday, President Obama met with congressional leaders. This meeting, however, proved to be unsuccessful. After that meeting, the president delivered a statement. In this statement, he said, quote, "Now, what's important to understand is that not everyone will feel the pain of these cuts right away. The pain, though, will be real," end quote. He continued by saying, "All of this will cause a ripple effect throughout our economy. Layoffs and pay cuts means that people have less money in their pockets, and that means they will have less money to spend on local businesses," end quote. The president later said what he wants and believes by saying, quote, "I do believe that we can and must replace these cuts with a more balanced approach that asks something from everybody. Smart spending cuts, entitlement reform, tax reform that makes the tax code more fair for families and businesses without raising tax rates, all so that we can responsibly lower the deficit without laying off workers or forcing parents to scramble for childcare or slashing financial aid for college students," end quote. People right here in Los Angeles need to know that we will eventually feel the effects of the sequester. Just because you do not notice any difference does not mean nothing is happening. Instead of doubting, I urge you to call your representative or your city council member or your county supervisor and ask them how you will be affected by the sequester. President Obama said in his speech, quote, "So economists are estimating that as a consequence of this sequester, that we will see a growth cut by over 0.5%, end quote. That percentage may seem small, but they are large when taken in the context of the way they are supposed to be. When it is considered that our economy is in a fragile state, a state in which we are recovering from a financial disaster, in a state where any stunted growth could cause us to go into a recession, it is a large number." Jenna and Katie, do you think this is happening also because of the lack of effort?
Yes.
Members of Congress have left the Capitol before 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the days leading to this sequester.
The primaries are coming up on March 5th, which means the Angelenos will be voting next week to elect a new mayor. Current mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is unable to run since he has already held the office as long as possible. Candidates include YJ German, current city councilman Eric Garcetti, city controller Wendy Gruhl, Kevin James, Addie Miller, councilwoman Jan Perry, Emmanuel Pleitez, and Norton Sandler. Articles in the Los Angeles Times and Los Angeles Daily suggest that a major factor in the election is the economic state of Los Angeles. If no candidate receives the majority in the primary, the top two finishers will advance to a runoff vote that would take place on May 21st of this year. The sequester kicked in Friday and looks like it is here to stay with no compromise in sight. Over the weekend, Obama took a step closer to the Republicans by indicating he's open to changing entitlement programs. Despite this reach, no compromise have been reached yet. The two areas that will take the hardest hit are the military and also healthcare.
Thank you, Katie. And now it is time for our 1 minute spotlight segment. I will be starting off by continuing along Jenna's topic of the Los Angeles elections. People who do not live in Los Angeles and businesses in other cities are getting involved in the mayoral election. They are donating money. Let me be clear. There is absolutely nothing wrong with donating money. I will let you decide whether you take issue with people who do not have a direct stake in this election donate money in this election. According to campaign disclosure forms, Steve Tisch, co-owner, chairman, and executive vice president of the New York Giants, who does not live in Los Angeles, has donated to Eric Garcetti and Wendy Gruhl. This begs the question, why did he donate money to two of the candidates? And why did he use a different job title on the two forms? Elections are when people have a say in government, the time when they choose their leaders, and the path their community takes. Steve Tisch and many other people like him may have a link to Los Angeles, but not a direct link. Not like the people who live in the city of Los Angeles.
The Obama administration boldly declared its support for a highly controversial issue, same-sex marriage in California. The Justice Department asserted that prejudice may not, however, be the basis for a differential treatment under the law. In the 2008, the Proposition 8 referendum took away the right of same-sex couples to get married after lawmakers in the courts had decidedly allowed for same-sex marriage. The Obama administration expressed support for same-sex marriage in California and also asked the courts to overturn similar bans on gay marriage. The case for same-sex marriage in California will be heard by the Supreme Court in March. Quote, "The issues before the Supreme Court in this case and the Defense of Marriage Act case are not just important to the tens of thousands of Americans who are being denied equal benefits and rights under our laws, but to our nation as a whole," said Attorney General Eric Holder. The issue of same-sex marriage will be a part of Obama's legacy.
Thank you for listening to Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, Willa Seidenberg, the Annenberg Radio News faculty advisor, and Aaron Schrenk, the Annenberg Radio News executive producer, for all of their help. The music on today's program has been composed, recorded, and provided by Eric Schwartz. He is on the web at www.ericschwartz.com. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism at the University of Southern California, on behalf of Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight, I'm Max Schwartz, saying have a great week, and we will be back next week. In the meantime, we can be reached at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag politicaltalkpodcast.